Our opening hymn from the Red Church Hymnal is hymn 324, God Whose Almighty Word. The Lord be with you. If you'd like to be seated. I'd like to say good morning and a very warm welcome to everyone on this lovely Pentecost Sunday. And it's lovely to come to worship with the sun shining and the grounds looking so well. So you're all very welcome to our service this morning for Pentecost, which is the birth of the church. It's the day that we celebrate the gift of God's Holy Spirit for his people as he brings life to the people of God. Just as you came in, hopefully you'll have seen the notices for the week that is to come. I want to draw attention just to a couple in particular that don't happen every week. On Tuesday evening at 7:30, the Select Vestry will be meeting in the Sexton's Room. And on Wednesday afternoon at 2:00, the ladies' friendship group will be meeting with an afternoon quiz, and all ladies are welcome at 2:00 on Wednesday afternoon. On Thursday afternoon at 1:00, the funeral service of our friend Billy Dara takes place here in church. And next Saturday, between 9 and 11, we hope to have our monthly work party around the grounds of the church. If you're free and you can come and help between those hours, we're always grateful for assistance as we try to get bits and pieces done around the church grounds. Our services next Sunday are Holy Communion at 9:00, morning prayer at 11, and evening prayer at 7. Today, our service, the service of morning prayer 2, begins on page 101 in the Book of Common Prayer, and you'll find all the responses on the screens.
Beloved in Christ, we come together on this most special day of Pentecost to offer to Almighty God our worship and praise and thanksgiving, to confess our sins and to receive God's forgiveness, to hear his holy word proclaimed, to bring before him our needs and the needs of the world, and to pray that in the power of his Spirit we may serve him and know the greatness of his love. Let us then confess our sins to God our Father. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you and against our neighbor in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault, by what we have done and by what we have failed to do. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in eternal life, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our psalm, which we are going to stand and sing together, is Psalm number 104, beginning at verse 26, and the words will be on the screen.
Our first reading is from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 2, beginning to read at verse 1. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now there were staying in Jerusalem God-fearing Jews from every nation under heaven. When they heard this sound, a crowd came together in bewilderment because each one heard them speaking in his own language. Utterly amazed, they asked, "Are not all these men who are speaking Galileans? Then how is it that each of us hears them in his own native language? Parthians, Medes, and Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea, and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt, and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, we hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongues." Amazed and perplexed, they asked one another, "What does this mean?" Some, however, made fun of them and said, "They have had too much wine." Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and addressed the crowd. "Fellow Jews and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let me explain this to you. Listen carefully to what I say. These men are not drunk, as you suppose. It's only 9 in the morning. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days, and they will prophesy. I will show wonders in the heavens above and signs on the earth below, blood and fire and billows of smoke. The sun will be turned to darkness and the moon to blood before the coming of the great and glorious day of the Lord. And everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved." This is the word of the Lord.
During our next hymn, we're going to invite children and young people to go out to Sunday school with their leaders. But our next hymn is hymn number 299, "Holy Spirit, Come Confirm Us."
Thank you.
Our second reading this morning is from the Gospel according to St. John in the 15th chapter, beginning at the 26th verse. Jesus said, "When the Counselor comes, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth who goes out from the Father, he will testify about me. And you also must testify, for you have been with me since the beginning. Now I am going to him who sent me, yet none of you asks me, 'Where are you going?' Because I have said these things, you are filled with grief. But I tell you the truth, it is for your good that I am going away. Unless I go away, the Counselor will not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. When he comes, he will convict the world of guilt in regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. In regard to sin, because men do not believe in me. In regard to righteousness, because I am going to the Father, where you can see me no longer. And in regard to judgment, because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I have much more to say to you, more than you can now bear. But when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own. He will speak only what he hears, and he will tell you what is yet to come. He will bring glory to me by taking from what is mine and making it known to you. All that belongs to the Father is mine. That is why I said, the Spirit will take from what is mine and make it known to you." This is the word of the Lord.
Let's stand together and respond by sharing together the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Let us pray. Our special collect prayer today, this day of Pentecost. Almighty God, who on the day of Pentecost sent your Holy Spirit to the apostles with the wind from heaven and in tongues of flame, filling them with joy and boldness to preach the gospel, by the power of the same Spirit, strengthen us to witness to your truth and to draw everyone to the fire of your love, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. O Lord, our Heavenly Father, almighty and ever-living God, we give you thanks for bringing us safely to this day. Keep us from falling into sin or running into danger, and in all things, guide us to know and do your will, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Heavenly Father, in whom we live and move and have our being, we humbly pray that your Holy Spirit may so guide and govern us that in all the cares and occupations of our daily life, we may never forget your presence, but may remember that we are always walking in your sight, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. As we prepare ourselves to hear God's word being opened up for us this morning, we're going to sing together hymn number 301, Let Every Christian Pray.
words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be now and always acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I wonder if you have ever been given a gift that you feel a bit afraid of. The sort that when you open it up and everybody is looking at you and they're looking expectantly and you look at the box and you think, I wonder what that actually is. And you're a bit afraid to say because you know that the giver is really excited about the gift that they have given to you. And yet you yourself, you're a little bit afraid of it as you open it up. I knew an elderly lady once who had been given an iPad from her two children. And they both lived abroad and they thought this would be a magnificent thing for this lady to be able to Zoom and to enable her to look up things she was interested in on the internet. But the lady, however, found this gift to be quite an ordeal, even to switch it on. She told me that she would be in the process of doing something on this iPad. She'd hit a button and suddenly everything would disappear. Or having learned to do something once, she would then be unable to do it again. And so what she tended to do was put the iPad back in its box and leave it there. And I guess the Holy Spirit is another gift that perhaps we all feel maybe a little bit nervous about. From what we know and what we understand, it seems to be a very important thing, and yet it has also some pretty frightening aspects to it also. What about those demonstrations of power that we read about in the scriptures that seem a bit uncontrollable? Or when we hear, as we did this morning, about people speaking in different kinds of tongues or people prophesying the future or being given particular words of knowledge or insight that have a particular relevance to other people's lives. Many of us get quite nervous, if we're honest, about those sorts of things. And yet on this feast day of Pentecost, it's important for all of us to look together at this wonderful gift of God's Holy Spirit. Because there's a danger, just like the iPad that was given to that lady, that we fail to recognize the potential of the Holy Spirit. And we then close ourselves off from something or someone that is designed to bless and to encourage and to give life to every Christian believer. And perhaps most importantly of all, we would then avoid something or someone whose primary task is to make you and me more like Jesus. Jesus pointed out to his disciples that they reacted to the news about his impending death with sorrow and grief, because they didn't know how they would cope without him. And in a sense, whenever Jesus was with them, they got used to him taking control of every situation. He would heal the sick. He would speak and act with power and authority. And they were quite happy to watch him do those things. And yet, when he told them that he was about to leave, they wondered what was then going to happen after he had gone. And Jesus wanted to reassure his disciples that the fact that he was physically gone did not mean that his power would not be available to them. In fact, Jesus said he had to go physically in order to enable them to receive this gift of his power working alongside them and working within them to continue his work on earth. And whereas before, Jesus was confined to being in one place at one time, now, with this gift of the Holy Spirit, wherever his followers go throughout the world, his power goes with them. And so the potential for growth and for influence and for expansion has expanded and exploded right across the world. And Jesus spoke in our gospel reading this morning about some of the tasks of the Counselor, the Holy Spirit. And he spoke in the first instance about conviction of sin. And that's a pretty tough one in the world that we live in today, where many people believe that there is no such thing as sin, even though the world is full of evidence to the contrary. And when I was thinking about this, I was brought back in my imagination about 45 years to when I was in primary school. And I was thinking about this particular day that a missionary couple came to visit our school. And they came and they showed some slides about where they were working in Kenya. And it was an amazing presentation because in their slides they were able to capture the poverty, the lack of resources in schools. The children used to sit under a tree to get their education. They were able to capture in their slides the struggle to grow crops. And you got a sense of the drought that was affecting the country. And I was absolutely absorbed and fascinated by this presentation. So when the couple invited questions at the end, I couldn't shut up. I fired question after question after question. And later on that day, my teacher asked if they could speak to me on my own. And while they applauded my enthusiasm, they pointed out to me that I'd actually spoiled the presentation for all the other pupils. They pointed out that other people might have questions too, and I hadn't given them a chance. And by pointing it out to me in that very personal and direct way, I became convinced that yes, I had done wrong, and I never forgot that lesson. Sometimes it is hard for us to believe or to accept that we have done wrong in our lives. And Jesus sometimes used stories to point that out to people. But the Holy Spirit has a vital role to play in pointing out to us sometimes how far short of God's standards we have fallen. Not to rack us with unbearable guilt, but rather to make us aware of the forgiveness that is available to us through what Jesus accomplished on the cross. Jesus also speaks about the work of the Spirit in guiding us into all truth. And so he reveals to us more and more of himself as we open our lives to him, and the Holy Spirit shows us what we need to do and what we need to be as we surrender our lives more and more fully to Jesus. For most of us, that process of surrendering our lives to Him is a gradual process, but it is a very, very important one as we open our lives more and more to Him. One of the big tasks that the Holy Spirit undertakes, and it is such a beautiful task, is to reveal to you and I that we are beautiful and precious in the sight of God. And sometimes that, as an idea, frightens us, and it may even wreck our heads, especially if we've been told for a lot of our lives that we're useless, or we're a waste of space, or that we always get things wrong, or we're constantly making mistakes. And when we're told things like that quite a bit, they begin to feed into our own thoughts about ourselves. And I was thinking about a priest that I went to hear speaking once, who had a very, very powerful ministry in Los Angeles. He dedicated his life to this ministry called Homeboy Industries. And what he had done was he had set up these industries and employment for gang members who had been involved in drugs and violence and shootings. And he had spoken that word by the power of the Holy Spirit, that word that is countercultural, and said to people that society had rejected and were terrified of, that we believe in you. That there actually is an alternative to gang warfare, and you don't have to hate people from different neighborhoods. You don't have to shoot them dead just because they live in a different area to you. But instead, you can work together. You can create something good and meaningful, and you can be fulfilled in so doing. One of the works of the Holy Spirit is to draw us together in unity. And it's a vital work in a world that is polarized and divided. So as we think about all these aspects of the Holy Spirit, that wonderful gift that God gave to His church on the first day of Pentecost, let's not be frightened of the Holy Spirit. He longs to reveal more of Himself to you and to me. He longs to deepen our understanding of Him. And as we spend time with Him in the Scriptures and in prayer and in worship together as the people of God in this place, He longs for us to know that we're beautiful and precious, that we're beloved of Him, and that we can also reveal this to other people as we rely on His power. He wants us to know that we can be instruments of His compassion and His healing, that we can build a better and a fairer world as His power, the power of the Holy Spirit, is called upon and works within you and me and us in the world around us. Let us pray. Gracious God, we rejoice this morning in your creative and energizing Holy Spirit. At creation, your Spirit brought order out of chaos. And so we praise you for the work of your Spirit in the church and in the world, constantly redeeming and renewing your creation and imparting gifts to your church. The gift of the power to proclaim your word, the gift of conviction of sin and showing us forgiveness, the gift of strength for repentance, and the gift of certainty of your love through Christ's death, resurrection, and ascension. We praise you this morning that your Spirit is giving us faith to displace unbelief, that your Spirit is giving us love instead of insecurity, that your Spirit is bringing hope where once there was despair. Continually fill us, we pray, with your Spirit, that we might enter more fully into the riches of your grace. In Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. And we pray this morning for renewal in our individual lives. Lord God, we ask you this morning to cleanse us, strengthen us, renew us, and confirm us as your disciples. Make us your trusted witnesses, and send us wherever you will with your joyful message of new life in Christ. Fill our hearts with love and compel us to bind up the wounds of our brothers and sisters in this broken world. We ask you to guide us to anyone in pain or turmoil or darkness, and would you let your Holy Spirit work through us to minister the love of Christ, the peace of Christ, and the light of Christ. Help us to serve with sympathetic action as well as kindly speech. Grant us inner mercy as well as outward willingness, and help us to remember, Lord, that you are our true companion all along the way. Amen. Holy Spirit, we meet you in countless ways, and we find you in many forms: wind, fire, water, and dove. Often you comfort us, often you inspire us, sometimes you surprise us, and always you bless us. Holy Spirit, enfold us so that we are an echo of God's love, a reflection of Christ's light, and a pathway for your peace. Amen. And we also want to pray this morning for those who are going through difficult times. We pray for those who are sick at home or in hospital. We pray for all who are tuning in to watch our service online this morning. We pray too for those who have been bereaved, and we remember especially the family and friends of Billy Darragh. And Lord, we ask that you would draw alongside them today at a time of great loss, to give your comfort and peace and the reassurance and hope of eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Merciful Father, accept these, our prayers, for the sake of your Son, our Saviour, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
And so during our next hymn, we're going to offer back to God. It will be an offering hymn, and we'll offer back to God those gifts he has given to us. And this Pentecost Sunday, we'll also take a chance to offer to him the Holy Spirit, our open hearts, and invite him to take what we have, to take what he has made in us already. Let's stand and sing together our offering hymn, hymn number 294, Come Down, O Love Divine. Thank you so much for joining us for this time of worship, whether you have been here with us in the building or joining us to worship online. It's always a pleasure and a special thing to gather together in worship. Can I remind you that there will be tea and coffee and juice, I'm thinking juice, biscuits is what I should have said, down in the hall for anyone who wants to come and join us. And it'd be nice to have your company, and it's a sunny day that we can share together. Let's close our service with a blessing prayer. The Spirit of truth lead you into all truth. Give you grace to confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, and to proclaim the words and works of God. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and everyone you love, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Our closing hymn this morning is hymn number 303, Lord of the Church.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.